Well, it's a privilege to be here this morning. I was been looking forward to coming for a long time, but it just seems like we're always either too tired or somewhere else. Yeah. But I always enjoyed coming to Redeeming Love. I always liked that name. Me, that is, that's the name of Jesus Christ. That's another way to say Jesus Christ, Redeeming Love. I love that name. And this week, I was hauling some Amish folks, that's what we do down there. We haul a lot of Amish. And we went to the Walmart, and coming back through, actually I was there twice that day, and here along the Walmart there's a couple there. It's not an old couple, it's a young couple. And they were sitting there by the guardrail, holding a sign, anything helps. And I was just thinking about that, anything helps. That tells me that they're some almost at wit's end, if that's true. They're probably, you know, the Bible talks about wit's end. You ever been there? You ever been at wit's end? You just don't know which way to turn. And you said, well, anything helps. Anything would help me. Really, in a way, that's not true. There's only one thing that helps. There's only one thing that takes away the misery of a person that comes to that end, wit's end. And that's Jesus. He can take somebody that's at wit's end, and if they find him, their Redeemer, they've found a gold mine. They don't have to sit by the guardrail and be a beggar. Now we are beggars, but we don't have to sit by the guardrail. We'll find purpose in life. God is such a wonderful God. This morning they say this is Father's Day. And so I thought about my father. I have two fathers. One was my dad, who fathered me, and the other was my heavenly father. So I have two fathers, and I think all of you have two fathers. And sometimes we put a lot of emphasis on our earthly father, but I think it'd be good for us to think about our heavenly father. There's a lot of people don't realize that we have a heavenly father. We have a Heavenly Father that loves us. We have a Heavenly Father that has a deeper love than even our earthly father has. And he can't hardly stand it if a soul be lost. I mean, it's hard because he made us as creatures of choice. But many times most times we as creatures of choice, we grow up, we don't know the way to find God. Because God is a spirit. And they, like we heard this morning, they that worship God, they that praise God, must do it in spirit and in truth. And so it's hard for us to comprehend those things. We're so used to comprehending just things we see, you know. But we really have a Heavenly Father who loves us and gave us truth that will redeem us and will save us. By the way, that's redeeming love. And I would like to this morning just share some verses here out of 1 Corinthians chapter, I think I'll start reading in chapter 1. The songs, some of the songs we sang were so good too. They were just fitted right in with what my thoughts are. In chapter 1, verse 17, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world?" And you know something? The devil is trying to trick people into believing that worldly education, and I'm not against necessarily having education, but worldly education has deceived the people. In a lot of ways, it's deceived the people. And it's Satan, we don't sometimes understand all his tactics, but we've been reading in the book of Job. You know, Job had some good friends, and they came to see him, and they tried to comfort him, and they tried to help him understand what his problem was, and that he had done something wrong, and God was really, but they didn't see the whole picture. And Job didn't see the whole picture. And most times we don't see the whole picture. And we think the circumstances and the things that we face are because of God is bringing some evil upon us or something. But it's not God that's bringing evil upon us. It's the devil that brings evil upon us. And God allows him to do those things. But his day is at the end. His day is coming. And he's at the end. And so he's furious. I think he's furious. And that's why we see things we see in our day. But a lot of these people go to school, get educated, end up standing on the sidewalks, not knowing what to do, but do drugs and doing things that are wrong, live in immorality or living immoral lives. And it's come to the place where we know how it is. It's society is so corrupted with immorality that they hardly know even if they're a man or a woman anymore. And that's the education system that I'm talking about. That's the education that Satan would like to bring upon us and destroy us. He knows that will destroy, immorality will destroy human beings. And it'll destroy their lives. That's why the big part is why we see all these homeless. We sit living in tents in the big cities and homeless. Sin has corrupted this nation to such an extent that we need some missionaries back here. We need some missionaries back here in the U.S. anymore. We really do. That's why Redeeming Love is here too. But anyhow, I'm getting way off track here. But God, it says here, "Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For After that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. By the foolishness of preaching, and I think simply preaching is seriously expounding God's word. The preacher that doesn't believe what he says is not preaching the word. He might take up the time, but he's not preaching the word. And that is not, that may be some religion, but it's not what brings salvation. The things that convinced me when I became a Christian was the man knew what he was talking about. I could tell he knew. And he knew what salvation was. I think there's a lot of preachers today that don't know what salvation is. But it says here, by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jew required a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. The base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. The point there is God, his ways are so different from our ways and from the ways of this world that the world thinks, the world can't comprehend it. The world doesn't comprehend God and how he works. But God works so much better and different and better than what. And he goes on here. This is actually a chapter I want to get to. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Again, there was the power of God manifested, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And my dear people, that's the only salvation there is. If you want to know how to live, or if you want to have it, the church, I think, tries too much to control the people by the wisdom of men and not by the power of God. But he says here, your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. If you want a church, be a church that's revived, that has life, then living in the power of God. Is the power of God manifested in our lives? I mean, I'm just asking this. These are things I'm asking of my own self. Am I living in the power of God? Or am I living in the wisdom of men? Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of the world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You know, the devil defeated himself. He really did. And he always will. He always will defeat himself. As long as he pursues to promote evil, he will always defeat himself. And so it is with us. As long as we promote evil, as long as we try to use the wisdom of the world for our own gain and prosperity and pleasure and whatever, we will always be defeating ourselves. But he says here, if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. I used to hear that we just don't understand when we die how heaven will be. And that's true, maybe that's what that means. But I think what it really means is in this life, before you and I became children of God, before we understood salvation, before we came to know him, the Bible didn't make any sense. And we had no idea what God actually has prepared. And you know, we're living in a world like that. They don't have no idea what God has prepared for them. God has prepared good. God has prepared a right end for everyone. Excuse me. But he has prepared a place for each one of us. He has prepared a way for us to live that is a blessing. Right here on earth, it's a blessing. This is not something that necessarily is over yonder, beyond this life. But even now, God has prepared a salvation for us that even I don't think I understand totally the beauty of it all. I mean, it is so beautiful. It's so good. And even what little taste we get of it here is good. And it gets much better. Think of how it will be when we'll be out of this world. I don't know how that would be, but will be, but we'll probably soon find out. At our age, we've got to find out soon, probably. But I think that really means they don't understand. It's so important. And they had a passion. I believe that the Apostle Paul had a passion that the people would understand God. They would understand who he is. They would understand this salvation. They would find him who will satisfy their life, who will change their life. And that's his passion for us today. Not just some religion to follow, but a salvation to have. A salvation that delivers. Praise God. But God hath revealed them, it says, unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Sometimes I just think, we go through some trial. We go something that's difficult, and we cannot figure out why. But you know that God, I'm convinced God has a purpose. And when we get through, we'll understand. And it'll be something beautiful will come for those who trust God and find your way through that. It's better than sitting beside the guardrail, I'll tell you. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God. That's why we need to be born again. That's why we need to be born of the Spirit of God. That's why we need our sins washed away so that we can be born of the Spirit of God. That's why we needed a Savior. Praise God. But they can't understand. They are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet in himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And then if we go into the next chapter, he says here, and this was the way I understand this was the Mennonite, men of Simon's, the Mennonite who was the founder of the Mennonite. This was his favorite verse or his main emphasis. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Any other foundation to try to bring salvation will never come to pass, or will never work, let's put it that way. And I think it's still that way. There's no other foundation that the church can be built upon except Jesus Christ. His teaching, his word, his gospel, the gospel is that. And so that foundation is salvation through the power of God, our Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ. And that's what has been on my heart for some time. We have a Heavenly Father above with a heart full of mercy. The songwriter, I like that song. It just keeps ringing around. May I introduce you to this friend of mine who hangs out the stars and tells the sun when to shine and kisses the flowers each morning with dew. But but friend, he's not too busy to care about you. We have a Heavenly Father above with eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love. He really cares when your head is bowed low. Consider the lilies and then you will know. We have a Heavenly Father above. When your head's bowed low, he really cares. Let's have Father's Day like that. Let's honor our Heavenly Father like that. Because we have a Heavenly Father who's full of mercy. He knows how to help us. He knows how to save us. He knows how to change the mind of the wise in his own eyes. He knows how to change that. You find people that know it all, but God, it's such a blessing to know that to really know it all, we have to get rid of our own wisdom and learn from our Heavenly Father. He is so good. He lifts up the crushed, the brokenhearted person. He lifts them up. He humbles the haughty-hearted. He's broken his alabaster box of love upon the poor and the needy. You know, there's a Heavenly Father that loves us, and I'm convinced that he broke his alabaster box. He poured out everything he had for us. Yes, he did. God is not an evil God. God is not a wicked God, but he poured out his own life and his own soul for us. what a Heavenly Father. Choose life. Choose life. Forgiveness and deliverance has come. Choose life. May you be blessed today when you think about your Heavenly Father. When I think of Him, when that becomes a real reality, we worship Him. We praise Him, don't we, Michael? We praise Him. So we have a Heavenly Father. Don't sit on the guardrail and think that anything helps, because then some people just sit on the guardrail. That's what holds them there. There's someone better than that, or something better than that. Something is worth more than gold. God bless you all.